everybody. I'm Tracy Tucker, and welcome to the Who Is In My Genes podcast, where we share adventures in exploring family trees, including tips for researching your own family tree, stories about discoveries, DNA testing and matches, and lots about adoptee searches and advocacy, because we believe everyone has a right to know who is in their genes. In my last episode, I talked about my dad. I mentioned a family photo I have from the Tucker side, and I have an update on that. But first, I have another update on 23andMe. In case you missed it, this week they reached an agreement to sell to Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, a U.S.-based biotechnology company, for $256 million. Regeneron operates labs to develop medications and medical treatments, and they also run the Regeneron Genetics Center. The terms of the sale agreement include acquiring all of 23's assets and offering employment to all of 23's employees. Regeneron also guarantees that they will comply with 23's privacy policies. The sale still needs court approval, but that's expected to go through, and the sale to close later this year. At this time, it's expected that 23 will continue to operate in the same way. I'll put a link to the full press release in the show notes. This sale is reassuring to me. I have not deleted my data from 23 and do not intend to at this time, but I'll keep watching and let you know if there are any other updates. Now, on to that photo. If you haven't listened to the last episode yet, I mentioned a photo I have of the Tuckers from the early mid-70s. It includes me and my sister, our parents, my dad's parents, and my dad's half-brother and his wife. What I noticed, though, when I was looking at it for that episode is that there is one more person in this photo that I forgot about. As soon as I looked at her, I knew her name was Flossie. She looked to be maybe younger than my grandparents, but older than my parents. I don't know how I could forget the name Flossie, but as soon as I saw her, the name just popped into my head. But then the inevitable question came. Who the heck was she, and why was she at our family dinner? I couldn't recall any last name. Now, I did know that there were several Florences in my dad's family. I thought maybe could one of them have been nicknamed Flossie? I used Ancestry's Find in Tree feature to find the Florences in the Tucker tree, and there were four. One was Aunt Florence, who died in 1955, so not her. One was born in 1876, so not her. One was my dad's half-brother's mother. Now, would my grandfather have two of his wives together at one dinner? Bold. But no, I have a photo of her too, and they did not appear to be the same person. There was one more Florence, but I couldn't find any evidence she was nicknamed Flossie. So sometimes we really have to put our thinking caps on, so to speak, and think through the possibilities. I didn't even have her surname, so how in the world was I going to figure out who she was? The next thing I did is something that's usually a huge stretch, and I only do it when nothing else is working and I'm desperate, and sometimes Ancestry won't even let you do it. But I hit the search button in Ancestry, then just entered the first name Flossie, no last name, added Lancaster, Ohio in the place, and then estimated a birth year of 1920. Ancestry is really generous with the age ranges in there. I left all the search terms on broad so they would pick up everything. Any guess as to how many results? 149 million 274,467. How would I ever figure it out? I scrolled through the first few pages and none of the names resonated. So, although there was a Hatfield, I decided there had to be an easier way. I considered using the photo I had of her to do an AI search, but before I did that, I took one simple step that I almost always take when I'm trying to figure something out and not just ancestry. I Googled. In that little Google search bar, I typed Flossie, Lancaster, Ohio, and hit enter. The first result was a legacy.com obituary for Flossie Walt in Lancaster, Ohio. I clicked on the link. To my utter astonishment, the obituary included a photo, and I'll be darned if it wasn't the same Flossie as in my photo. I had found her. Thank you, Google. Now, I do realize I got very lucky here, and that doesn't always happen. In fact, I was so shocked when I opened it up, I yelled out loud. Oh, the joy of a lucky hit. So, her married surname was Walt, and here's the text of her obituary. Flossie Lutz Walt, age 99, of Lancaster, passed away peacefully Friday, May 24th, 2019, at Traditions of Chillicothe. She was born on January 19th, 1920, in Hocking County, to the late George and Desi Nungester Lutz. In her early years, she worked for Anchor Hocking Glass. She retired from Lancaster Glass, where she worked in quality control. She was a very long-time member of the First United Methodist Church and volunteered many hours with the Metzger Nye Group at the church. In her later years, Flossie spent many hours in her yard in which she enjoyed her flowers. She loved to spend time with her family and will be greatly missed. She is survived by her daughter, grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. The names are actually listed in the obit, but I'm not going to read them here. She is preceded in death by her parents, her husband Richard Walt in 1972, brothers Clinton and Clyde Lutz, and sisters Betty Gordon, Dorothy Singer, and Jean West. So none of the names in the obituary rang a bell. It lists her name as Flossie Lutz Walt and 2 brothers with the surname Lutz. So Lutz, L-U-T-Z, must have been her maiden name. Now, it may be pronounced Lutz, I don't know, but where I live, we have a town by that same name, L-U-T-Z, and is pronounced Lutz. So I apologize if it's not Lutz, it's Lutz, but it's L-U-T-Z. I had nailed her birth year in my ancestry search at 1920. Got lucky on that too. She retired from Lancaster Glass, and that did ring a bell. Ted Sr., my grandfather, had also retired from Lancaster Glass, and my grandparents were also members of the First United Methodist Church, which was listed in the obituary. So I decided to get to work and see if she was somehow related to one of my grandparents. Instead of starting a new tree for her, I redid the search in Ancestry and found a record for her, and then used that to add her to my dad's tree without being connected. That way, if I did discover they were related, I could connect her in the tree and have just one big tree. You can add someone to a tree without connecting them to someone just by selecting a record, then clicking on the blue save button at the bottom of the record detail, then on save to someone in your tree. A window opens to confirm which tree you want to add them to, and there's a name box. Since Flossie was not already in the tree, I clicked on add this to a new person, then completed the fields for her as a new person. Once you fill in those fields and click save, Ancestry takes you to the person's new profile page where you can continue to add facts, sources, conduct searches, etc. If you don't see this person's tree when you go to your main tree, or you see this new person's tree and not your original tree, that's because they are not connected to each other. So don't panic. Just search for someone in one tree or the other, or one part of the tree or the other, depending on which part of the tree you want to see, and select the person, and then that tree will appear for you. So I started with building out Flossie's profile a little more. She was indeed born a Lutz and married a Walt. I added her husband, her parents, her siblings, her children. I found no surnames linking anyone to Tucker or Botts, my grandmother's maiden name. I found her siblings' spouses, no connections. I looked at her parents, none there either. I then went through all my grandparents' siblings to see if any of their spouses had a surname linked to Lutz or Walt or their mother's maiden names. I also reviewed my dad's half-brother's mom's family. I've mentioned my famous surname list, and I definitely had to create one for this search. Brown, Clendon, and Geekerson, Klinger, Lutz, Nungester, Schaubach, Walt. Frustratingly, no overlaps anywhere. So for now, I have decided that Flossie was a close family friend who lived in the same town, worked with my grandfather, and went to church with my grandparents. I'm sorry that she just died in 2019 and I missed her and can't ask her. A lesson I keep having to learn over and over, I guess. But there may be one person who knows. I've mentioned my dad's half-brother. I did some additional research on him recently, and I believe he may still be alive. If you've never used True People Search, it can really help you find people because it offers clues other than just name and address, including birth month and year, alternate names, past addresses, and possible relatives and associates. I can't tell you how many people I've found addresses for using it, and it's free. It comes in really handy when I'm working on an air tracing case, as the relatives feature provides clues to siblings and children that otherwise may be hard to find. So I found perhaps a current address for my dad's half brother, and I have mailed him a letter. I'll let you know if I hear anything back from him. If he's friendly, maybe I'll eventually ask him about Flossie. I did also run across one interesting surname doing this research that I may explore a bit more. It's my adopted sister's married surname, and the family members are in the right place to be related to her husband. My dad's half-brother's mother's maiden name is the same as my sister's husband's surname. I've added this to my very long list of research projects. Maybe it will be the topic of a future podcast episode. Wouldn't that be fun? Now, a reminder that if you have a puzzle, a brick wall, or just limited time to research your own family tree, let me help. I'll research an individual, a family, or a line. If you want me to work on your family tree on Ancestry, I will do that. I can also audit your Ancestry tree. If it's kind of messy and you have lots of duplicates or you just want it to be cleaned up, I can do that. Most of my services are available through my website, whoisinmygenes.com. Just go to the store on the website and read through the descriptions. Most of these have pricing attached to them so you know exactly what my charges are. If you don't even have time to go to my website and take a look, or you don't know exactly what you want, or you don't see what you need, email me directly at Tracy, Traci, at whoisinmygenes.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I'm happy to schedule a phone call or video call to discuss your project, or I'm also happy to converse via email to figure things out. If you have a larger project that will take a while and you would like the fee to be broken up into smaller or monthly payments, I can do that also. Remember, The best time to start your research was yesterday. The second best time is now. Get started on finding out who is in your genes before you lose your chance. Thank you for listening to the Who Is In My Genes podcast with me, Tracy Tucker. If you enjoyed it, please give us a great review to help others find the show and follow us to get notified of new episodes. Visit us online at whoisinmygenes.com for all the ways we can help you find out who is in your genes, and follow us on Instagram for the images we mention in the show. Links are in the show notes. Join us next week for a new episode of Adventures in Exploring Family Trees.